Well, I looked at my notes, and for the last couple of years, we've been on the general topic of practical living, and we're still going to be practical, and we're still going to talk about living, but for the next several months at least, and maybe longer, I'd like to focus on the concept of new beginnings. We talked about that one time, I noticed, about a year ago, but I'd like to sort of make that the focal point of our teachings for the next few months, new beginnings. And to start that, something I've taught many times in this fellowship, but I looked at my notes and it's been a few years since I did it, so I figured it's time to go back and look at it and see if we can learn some more. We're going to start with simply prayer with believing. Very simple concept that you do have to pray. You have to ask God for what you want. Because although God knows what we need and can take care of us, He doesn't want to overcome our freedom of will. Oh, by the way, that'll be the topic of our weekend, right. The end of February, is predestination and freedom of will. So we'll touch on this in some more detail. But because God doesn't overcome our freedom of will and doesn't control our lives, rather He gives us the option of asking Him for help when we need it, we have to pray. We all know this with people we work with. There are very few people who will follow you around every 10 minutes of your life and tell you what to do. And if you do find somebody like that, you generally try to get rid of them. Because nobody wants to have somebody following them around, you know, controlling their lives every 10 minutes. But you do like to have people around who you can ask for help when you need it. And that's what God does. He's there if we ask for help. And you see all kinds of things if you talk to Christians, listen to Christian radio, read books about Christianity, none of which I do very much, but I do it enough to, and I've seen enough throughout the years to get an idea that you see several themes arise. Some people just believe God controls everything, and you know, whatever's going to happen is up to Him, and all you can do is pray that it doesn't hurt too much. That's what some people say. Oh, the dogs got in. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Rocco. Go, Charles. Go ahead. Go ahead, go, Charles. Yeah, there are more dogs than normal here today. We always like the dogs here, but today we have double dogs, so sometimes it takes a minute to get them organized. So that's one theme, is that God controls everything. And you just sort of got to wait and see what happens. So you can pray, but it doesn't seem to really matter because God controls everything anyway. But maybe if you pray a lot, He'll control it in a way that's not so bad. It's not as bad as it might have been otherwise. That's one theme. Another theme you hear people say, it all depends on how well-behaved you are. And if you're extremely well-behaved, then God will answer your prayers. But if you're a normal human that makes mistakes, then God is going to get really mad at you and throw lightning bolts at you. But as you know, the scriptures don't really support either approach. Because yes, God has a lot of power, and God does control things like making sure the sun comes up every morning. Yes, we should believe God's word and live according to it, and that's helpful. That's very important. But when it comes right down to getting prayers answered, the number one thing the scriptures focus on is simply believing that God will take care of you. So prayer with believing is fundamental to a successful prayer life. And this is very, very important because life is a challenge for everybody. And without absolute confidence that God will take care of you, that He'll direct your paths, supply your needs, give you the desires of your heart, life can become very discouraging. Because no matter how hard you try and work to figure things out on your own, oftentimes, you just can't get there. The scriptures are full of records of people like that. History is full of records of people like that. We've all had that happen in our lives where life just gets confusing and overwhelming and you don't know where to turn. Well, the answer in God's word is to pray, to ask God for help, and to do it with believing, with a confidence that God will come through. And that's the reason we spend so much time reading the scriptures, because God says that the Word of God builds believing. I can't remember the exact, oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the verse I was thinking of. I think that's in Romans 8. So our believing comes from hearing the word of God. So that's why we put such an emphasis on it. You'll meet many people in many groups that think it's silly and redundant to keep reading the Bible all the time. Well, I don't believe that's true, because by hearing the word of God, it just continues to remind us, that God loves us and that his word is true and that he will help us when we need help. So that when we go to pray, we do have believing, because we have all these records in our minds of people that have prayed and gotten answers to prayer. So for the next several sessions together, I'll be focusing on various aspects of prayer. But today, specifically prayer with believing. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Here we go. In 1 John chapter 5. All right, 1 John 5. And verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look at verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now that's a great thing, if we ask anything according to his will. Well, how do we know his will? We know it from what he says. You know, when I got here, the Dundons were very kind. They asked if I wanted some water and a cup of coffee. And I said yes. And now I have sitting in front of me a glass of water and a cup of coffee. How would they have known if I hadn't have told them? Unless they just, you know, I said something like, always bring me one. But either way, they would know because I said so. Well, we know what God's will is by what he says. And there's two ways we know what he says. The written word and the things in the written word addressed to us, specifically to us as Christians, they apply every day. Things God's promised us in the epistles or things he may have said somewhere else in the word that aren't changed by anything in the epistles to show things are different in this administration, those things apply every day. And then if we need specific information, God can give revelation about a specific situation that just applies in that specific situation. So when we know what God's will is, we know if we ask them, he heareth us. So for instance, I came in and the Dundons, you know, offered me coffee and water. But if I said no, you know, I'd like a pomegranate mango passion fruit smoothie, my guess is they don't have mango passion fruit and whatever the other one I said here in the house. And if I do, there wasn't time to get it fixed before fellowship. So I could ask for it and they wouldn't throw me out the door, but I probably wouldn't get it. It's better to start with what's available. Well, I know coffee and water were available because they offered that. So I said, yes, one of each, and I got that. Very, very graciously and very quickly. And the same thing, because that was according to their will. That was available. That was something they were willing and wanted to give me. Well, in the same way, there's all kinds of things I might have interest in, but if God doesn't say they're available, they may not be available. I can ask, but there's no promise that they'll be available. Let's see what the verse says again. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He hears us if we ask according to his will. So we have to know what he has said he can and wants to do for us, either in his written word or by us getting revelation by the Spirit of God. Then look at verse 15. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. You have enough confidence in the Dundons being great hosts that if they have coffee and I ask for a cup, they'll give it to me. Now, I know other people that, you know, make big claims, but they never ever follow through. So I have no confidence that if I ask them, it'll happen. But the Dundons have never failed as gracious hosts, so I have no doubts I'll receive it. Well, how much greater for God? We know that, so let's start this again, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So this is where people get confused at this point, and we'll see this more over the next many weeks. But the trick is not to limit God. Like I said about the smoothie, that probably wouldn't be available right now. They offered me a cup of coffee. They have delightful coffee here. But if I'd asked for a double latte, soy, cappuccino, something like you'd ask for at Starbucks, they may not have all that stuff here. But they got great coffee. They offered coffee. I said, coffee. Fine. Life's simple. But if I ask for something that's just not available, you know, I wait till I get to Starbucks if I want all that stuff. Unfortunately, I'm just delighted with the wonderful coffee, so I'm fine. But some things just aren't going to be available. And people get confused that way about God. Because, and here's the thing to realize, because God works with freedom of will, since a lot of what people ask for depends on other people, God's not going to control them. You know, let's say I'm having a tough time at work, and you know, and I pray that my boss will change his mind and be a different person on Monday. Well, God is not going to overcome my boss's freedom of will. If my boss wants to be an idiot, now fortunately I got a really good boss now. I've had plenty of idiot bosses, so I'm not talking about my immediate boss right now. I got a very good boss, but let's say I had this idiot boss, and I prayed that he would quit being an idiot. Well, God can't change. That's up to him. That's up to the boss, whether he wants to continue to be that way. Now, God can do stuff to protect me. He can do stuff to show me how to deal with it better. He can get me another job if the boss is just going to really make my life hell. But in the end, it's the boss's freedom of will. My point is, it may just not be available to change the boss's attitude because God's not going to overcome his freedom of will. Or let's say I wanted something else that just wasn't available because there was no way God could pull that off in a certain situation. You know, there are other things we see in the Word of God that are wildly available. I can remember the time they couldn't pay the taxes in the Gospels, and God said, go fishing, and he made sure they picked the fish that had all the money in its mouth. Mm-hmm. God can do that. Now, he didn't make the tax laws change. He didn't make the tax collector go away. It's all kinds of things they might have prayed for. He didn't get rid of the tax collector. He didn't get rid of the tax rules, but he found them in the money a different way. And the reason I tell you all these stories is to just realize we shouldn't limit God. If God's promised to supply your need, which he has, pray with supreme confidence he'll do it. But we may not know what he has available to do it, so don't worry about it. Now let's say you go to visit somebody's house, you know, and they've invited you for dinner. Well, you know whoever's cooking at that house will put something on the table. But maybe you come in really wanting shrimp cocktail, and what they have is hamburgers. That's what's in the refrigerator. Well, you may get the very best hamburger in the world, but you're not going to get shrimp cocktail. So if you go in expecting shrimp cocktail, you went to the wrong place. But if you go in expecting just a nice meal, because they invited you for dinner, all you know is that dinner's available. You don't know what dinner is until you sit down at the table and see what's put in front of you. And a lot of times, praying is like that. We know God has promised to take care of us, and we know he will. But unless he tells you by revelation exactly how he's going to do it, or exactly what you should expect, you don't know. You just know he's going to supply your need. He's going to direct your paths. He's going to do whatever he's promised. And that's a lot more than nothing. If you think of it, you know, maybe you wanted shrimp cocktail and you got a hamburger, but you got to admit a hamburger is a lot better than starving to death. Even if you like shrimp a little better than hamburgers, it's much better. Well, that's the way it is praying. Be extremely confident that God will do what he has said, but start by what he said. If he said he'll supply your needs, pray he'll supply your needs. If he tells you by worship, by revelation manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that you should pray for this job, or you should go buy one of these or sell one of those to make a big profit, or something else. If he gives you specific information, do that. And you know then that that's how God's going to do it. But if he doesn't tell you, just pray that God will supply your need and quit worrying about it. And God will figure it out. It's like you walk into somebody's house and they say, do you want something to eat? And you say, sure. Wait and see what comes out. It might be a ham sandwich. It might be a hamburger. It might be a shrimp cocktail. It might be, you know, Tahitian curry. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something, because they wouldn't have offered you lunch if they didn't have some food, and they can't cook anything besides what's in the refrigerator. So don't worry about it. Just be glad that they offered you some food and you get to eat. We all see this happen many times in our lives. This is nothing radical. Well, God, I won't say that God is like your neighbor's kitchen, but there are similarities in that he can only work with what's available. Now, God has a huge amount available beyond what you and I can realize, but he still has limits. You know, think of it. Think of it like during the 7 years of famine back in the time of Joseph. He didn't stop the famine. Wouldn't that have been easier to stop the famine? But he didn't. They had the famine. But because how God worked with Joseph and Pharaoh and everybody, you know, Joseph's family got to eat. You know, same thing you see in the book of Acts. There was a famine in the time of Caesar Augustus. But he told the prophet Agabus and some others that there was going to be a famine. So the believers got together and sent some money to Jerusalem. So the saints there didn't starve. Why didn't he just stop the famine? I don't know, but he didn't. That he either was unable or unwilling or just chose not to do that. And you'll see things like that in your life where, why didn't God just do this? I don't know. But as long as he comes through with a way to take care of you, he's kept his word. So we can't limit God. We can't expect God to do it exactly our way, but we can have absolute confidence that God will come through. Sort of like a football game. You know, the coach has all these plays and the quarterback has all these plays, and obviously they don't know which one's going to work, or if they did, you know, that team would always win, and no team always wins. Some teams do better than others. And maybe they have one good year and the next year is not so good. But they have all of these ways of doing it, and if they stay with it, sooner or later something works. And there was a point there which I can't remember. So let's go on here. 1 John chapter 5. We read that. Let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. I got so into the analogy, I forgot the point. Dang, I hate when I do that. Maybe it'll come back to me. But I've gotten used to myself. I told somebody the other day, one of the hardest things in life is learning to live with yourself. If you can do that, you're okay, because like it or not, you're the way you are, and you can fix it a little bit, but you're pretty much stuck with it. So find a way to work with it. And if you can, you'll be okay. Matthew 21, verse 19. Well, let's go back to verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, so this is Jesus Christ going from the suburbs, so to speak, Bethany, back into the city of Jerusalem. In the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, in the road, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, if you look at that verse by itself, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you looked at only, you'd think I can ask for anything. But remember, we just read in 1 John, whatsoever we ask according to his will. And a great key in any biblical studies is to realize that the difficult verse must be understood in light of the clear one. And you have to look at several verses to get the whole picture. It's like that in any field of work. You can't just know one fact. You have to know many things and put them all together to solve whatever problem you have. And what's clear from the word is, yes, anything we ask in prayer with believing we'll receive, but it has to be anything according to his will. So it's like if you go into a store, even if it's a huge store, a Walmart or a department store or something that has massive numbers of things, you can still only ask for something they actually have in stock. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into the paint store and ask for a motorboat, they probably don't sell them. Or if you go into the grocery store and ask for a tuxedo, you probably won't get it. But if you go in the grocery store and they have 14 kinds of yogurt, you can pick any one you want. And they probably do have 14 kinds of yogurt. But if you go into a clothing store, they might have 14 tuxedos, and you can pick one of them, but they probably don't have yogurt. You have to go for what's available. So whenever it says all things, all what things? Of course, my favorite example about the word all is strawberries, which you've probably heard me tell this story many times. If I'm living out with a nice garden in my backyard and I walk in the door on a nice summer day with a basket of ripe strawberries and say, I picked all the strawberries. Now, anybody who's ever had a garden knows, first of all, I didn't pick all the strawberries in the world. They also know I didn't even pick all the strawberries in my garden. I picked all the strawberries that happened to be bright red today. The ones that were a little pink and still green, I left there, because I'll pick them on the day when they're bright red. And so just from the context and understanding strawberries, we know what that means. And the same thing here, when it says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive, we know from other parts of the scripture that means all things you ask according to his will. So we find out what God's will is, we ask him with absolute confidence he'll come through. Now, when was the last time any of you walked into a bank when you had money into your account, showed the teller your identification, gave them whatever withdrawal slip or check or however your bank works, and said, I want $100. When was the last time you did that and had any doubt that they'd actually give it to you? You don't, because you know how the system works. It's your money. It's in there. You just ask. Well, it actually, this word ask in Greek means demand, similar to the way you do that. I remember my economics teacher years ago saying the official term for a checking account was a demand deposit, because you could have the money on demand. That's the whole point, as opposed to other types of accounts where there might be rules saying you had to leave the money there for a while. It's a demand deposit. You just go in and demand it. You can demand politely, but you're not asking them that if they feel nice, they're going to give it to you, or they're in a good mood, or you are a good person. No, it's yours. You can demand it. Well, that's what we do. We know what God has promised. We ask with absolute confidence that he'll give it to us, and he does. The trick is, don't limit God. Don't limit him to one way of doing it. Same thing in a bank. You don't know if the teller's going to reach under the counter and pull it out of a drawer, go to the drawer next door, or go back in the vault and get some money. You just know the teller's going to find you $100 and hand it to you. And you don't really care where she gets it. It's going to be there, and you're going to get your money. Well, whatsoever we ask, believing, you shall receive. Mark 11, similar topics. By the way, it's not in the notes here, but we'll get it to one of these weeks in prayer. Remember that record, the unjust judge, the parable of the unjust judge? And the point of the whole thing is that men ought everywhere to pray and not to faint. We'll talk about that. That's a great thing, because it's easy to faint in your mind. It's easy to just decide life is too hard, these challenges are too much, I can't get it, I can't figure it out, I can't rise to the occasion and get done what I have to get done. It happens to all of us at times. Sometimes it happens very infrequently, sometimes it happens 3 times a day. But whether it's a lot or not that frequent, it still can happen. We got to pray and not faint. We can't faint. We can't give up in life. We can't decide this is too tough, I can't handle it. We just have to go to God for help. So Mark 11, 13. Another record about a fig tree. On seeing a fig tree, well, verse 12, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruitily hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God, or believe God. For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, by the way, if you want to throw a mountain into the sea because that is sort of, beyond the normal way of God answering prayer, I would get revelation first. Because if God tells you do that, then he can. Just like walking on the water and a lot of the other incredible things. To do some miracle, to operate the manifestation of miracles, you want to have revelation. You can't just decide, I don't like that mountain, it's blocking my view of the beach. Again, a difficult verse has to be understood in light of a clear and simple one. There are some radical things, like having the sun go back 10 degrees on the sundial, and people walking on water, and having one pot of oil, which we'll read later, fill dozens of pots of oil, or, a few loaves and fishes feeding thousands of people. God can do things like that. But you wait till you get revelation for that. Don't just make up your mind one day. I like to tell the story about and this really happened to a friend of mine, a person 20, 30 years ago, who just didn't like Washington, D.C. Imagine that. Somebody that was mad at politicians. Hard to believe that. But this person was so angry about the government policies at the time that she just prayed that a big crevasse would open up and swallow up the whole city. And good thing she didn't tell me that, because I lived there at the time and I would have objected to having my city swallowed up. But she told a friend of mine this, because she was so upset at the government policies at the time that she thought the answer was just pray that it swallow up. But the problem is there any, can you think of any verse in the Bible where it says if you don't like the government of the city, you can pray that it gets swallowed up? No, there are times where it did this. You go back with Moses and some of those people worshiping false gods. God could open the earth up and swallow up people that were causing trouble. He's capable. But there's no place in the Bible that just says if you get mad at a certain town or a certain bunch of government leaders, you can pray. So my friend asked this very nice woman, now did you get revelation that this could happen? And she said, no, but I just know the government's just so evil. I just know that's the right thing to do. Well, this is 30, 40 years later, and it's still there. So her prayer did not get answered. Hallelujah. So you just can't make your mind up that you want something like that without revelation. You can look at the promises written to us in the church epistles, like God will supply your needs, or God wants you to prosper and be in health, or God will direct your paths. So many other things that clearly are written to us to apply every day. You can pray with absolute confidence that's that. But if you come up with some nutty idea that's way outside the scriptures, like I said, you can ask God, but don't expect him to do it. Because it says if we ask anything according to his will, and his will is written in his word or given to us by revelation. Other than that, we don't know it's God's will. I mean, if you're not sure, let's say you see something on the news and you see something very evil going on and you say, God, if it's possible, smite those people. You could certainly ask, and God might do it. But unless God gives you revelation to pray that they get smitten, it's just your opinions. It's just your wishes. It's a good term might be your wishful thinking rather than prayer with believing. There's a big difference. Oh, where were we? Mark 11. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Again, whatever you desire according to his will. Find out what God's written. Ask God if there's anything more specific you should ask for. And if he tells you, believe for that. And pray with believing. And you'll have the things you need. Now, here's just a few examples of the promises we can pray every day. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Many, many more. But these are some basic, fundamental promises that we can pray every day. Very familiar to most of us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace, all divine favor abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Bunch of superlatives in there, aren't there? Mm-hmm. You, all the time, you can have all sufficiency in all things so that you can abound to every good work. You have everything you need so you can reach out and help others with the power of God. Isn't that great? You can pray for that every day. Just pray as the week starts or as the day starts or even in the middle of the day. Lord, I just pray that I'll have all sufficiency in all things so I can abound to every good work. And then just see what doors God opens. God can do it in so many ways. He can bring money your way. He can bring gifts your way. He can find you bargains. He can get you stuff for free. He can make whatever you have last longer so you don't have to buy a new one or repair it. I mean, we've all seen these things happen in our lives. God can come through for you in any way you need. Let's look at another one, Philippians 4. Of course, this one is in the context of giving to the outreach of God's word, as Kevin prayed for earlier. Philippians 4:19, in the context of giving and then expecting God to bless you, we read here in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? God will supply all your need according to his riches. He has many riches. He has a lot in store, in his stores, in the abundance he has access to. So God can do amazing things for you. And again, we don't know how he's going to do it or when he's going to do it, but he'll take care of us according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 3 John 3. I'm excited about spending several sessions with you all on prayer. There is so much to it, and I'm sure I will not cover it all, but over a number of weeks we'll cover quite a bit. Here in 3 John verse 3, or verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. See, that's God's will. He wants us to prosper, and he wants us to be in health. God never wants you to be sick or poor. So never think that you're sick or poor because God wanted you that way. It's not true. It may happen to us and happens to all of us from time to time, but that's never God's will. He wants us to prosper and be in health. In Romans 8, and verse 37, talks about all of these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. Back in verse 35, then in verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're super conquerors because despite, even if we have those things come about in our lives, we're still super conquerors. Why? Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that's why we're more than conquerors. People may turn on you. Circumstances may turn on you. All kinds of things may turn on you, but you'll never lose the love of God. As long as God loves you and you know it, you'll come out as more than a conqueror. Because that's what you need. That's what you need. Even the guys that write movies know this. They know that they can have 20 bad guys coming at the hero, but as long as the hero has whatever little edge he has, whether it's a backup group or, you know, a group to, you know, help him out, or it's some superpower or some special weapon, or he has something or some special mission, just because he has that one thing, you know, all these other bad guys shooting at him can't get him. Well, that's just the movies, but we have something greater. We have the love of God. We have that God loves us, and he promises to take care of us. And as long as we have that, we can weather any storm. We can get through any other challenge. And we all have challenges of various types. But whatever they are, God will get us through because he's God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Again, very familiar verses to all of us. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I find as the years go by, these very simple, obvious verses are the ones I turn to all the time because they're what I need. So I don't mind reading them again and again. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest or evident the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. See, God always causes us to triumph in Christ. We just have to expect it. We just have to pray with believing. And let's wrap up with one brief record here in 2 Kings chapter 4. And then, as I said, in future weeks, we'll get into more detail about some of the different types of prayer and some other aspects of it we didn't cover today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. The sons of the prophets, that was their training program for training people to become a prophet to the Lord, the true God. So one of the wives of one of these sons of the prophets saying, came to Elisha, who was like their leader, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear or reverence the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So this fellow was in debt, then he died, then the creditor, the guy he'd borrowed money from, came to take his two sons to be bondmen, to be slaves. See, we've talked about this before, their bankruptcy laws were tougher back then. These days, you know, you would just go back, declare bankruptcy. If you had two houses, they might take one of them away and sell it to pay off some of the debts. If you only had one, they'd probably let you stay in there. I still remember when Donald Trump went bankrupt and they let him keep like four houses, eight cars, and an airplane. But he had to sell like six houses, two airplanes, and 12 cars. Something like that. But they gave him enough to live on. That's the way our bankruptcy laws work in general. But back then, if you had children, they would take the children, sell them as slaves. And if you still didn't have enough, they'd make you a slave. And you'd have to remain a slave until you worked off the debt. Then you might get your freedom. So it was a tougher bankruptcy loss. So this woman was upset. Not only had she lost her husband, but the fellow her late husband owed money to was about to take their two sons. And she obviously wasn't happy about it. And Elisha said unto her, verse 2, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now we've all had times where the cupboard's a little bare and we need to head to the supermarket. Any of you ever remember a time where the only thing in your kitchen was a bottle of Crisco? Or olive oil or whatever you like? That's all she had, was one pot of oil. Then he said, and clearly this is by revelation, because what's going to happen here is breaking all natural laws, which means it's a manifestation of miracles, which means you need revelation for it. So he said, verse 3, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." In other words, get a lot. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, so she took one pot of oil and filled, I don't know, maybe dozens, maybe 100, but a lot of pots of oil. So it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So the oil went out until there was no more vessel to fill. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So isn't that amazing? There was this huge need because one of the sons of the prophet had gone into debt and died. Two big problems in any family. A death and debts. Many families face one or the other or both. Well, they face both. And the only asset they had was a pot of oil. Of course, the bigger asset they had was knowing to trust God. And because Elisha walked with God and God told him what to do, he told the widow. She and her sons got the pots. They filled them up. The one pot of oil stretched to fill many pots of oil. It was enough to pay off the debt and then have enough money to live on. So it's just one example. Now, she didn't know about praying to the true God or getting revelation, but she did know to go talk to Elisha because that's the way it worked there. Now, in this day and time, and we'll get into this more in future sessions, the difference is we all have the Spirit of God. You don't have to go find the one guy who has the Spirit of God. You can pray and ask God yourself. God can show you. So God is very great. And as the weeks go by, we'll spend more time on new beginnings. And it could be that your life is exactly the way you want it and you just need to tweak a few things. Or maybe you don't want to change anything. You just want to keep it going good. Or it could be this is a year, as Brian prayed, I think, that we're going to have me, or maybe it was Kevin, sorry. We all prayed good stuff. One of you prayed that we just have a great year and that the things ahead of us work out and that God opens the doors and whatever needs to happen in our lives to live abundantly this year happens. I'm expecting 2015 to be the greatest year for all of us because that's what God's word says is available. God talks about new beginnings. God talks about, just like this woman, she'd lost her husband and was about to lose her kids. Now, she still didn't get her husband back, but she at least got to keep her sons and had money to live on. It was a huge change. And the same may happen in our lives. Could be stuff happened in 2014 that we can't go back, but we can go forward. And whatever it is you need to go forward in your life, God will show you a way to do it. He'll provide what you need, and you'll have new beginnings. And a major, major key to that is simply knowing what His will is, and then praying with believing, with confidence that He'll come through for you. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love and Your kindness. Thank You for all You've done, for all You've provided. Thank You for these wonderful saints on the phone, wonderful saints here in the room, the wonderful saints who will listen to this on the website in the future. May You bless them abundantly, and may they get a vision for their lives that You help them build of how they can move forward, blessed, thankful, and not only happy and fulfilled themselves, but able to help others as well. And I thank You for this and Your wonderful, wonderful love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.